When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Empire.
Welcome to the latest edition of Off Caps with former Capitals defenseman Carl Osner. I'm AP Hockey writer Steve Wino. We're going to be joined by former Capitals employee Jackie Spiegel, now with NHL.com. I met her when she was with Sporting News during that 2019 Cup Final, which actually was a Cup Final that kind of changed my life in a lot of weird different ways. But that's another story for another day, Carl. This is actually a Capitals podcast. Let's talk about the Caps. We're recording this on Friday morning. So after that Caps comeback against the Flyers on Wednesday night to win in overtime. And I don't want to say like they're on the verge of like if they lost that game, big bad things were going to happen. But it felt to me like that's a game you need to win or your season can go off the rails. And tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, it's been pretty doom and gloom lately, right?
Yes,
like this isn't a win two, lose one, you know, win one, lose one. It's been quite a few losses. You know, it's you're not even necessarily treading a whole lot of water, but you know, that's the bad side. You know, the fact that they are where they are, with who's out, is, you know, kind of understandable. You know, I somewhat expected them to be a little bit better than this, even though they have some of those players out, cause there is still some depth and some firepower there and all that. But yeah, it just has not been ideal. And there's a few other teams that are struggling as well that maybe we weren't expecting. So I think I heard something recently about Keith Yandel said that he still doesn't even believe that the Devils are gonna be able to sustain any of this and may not even make the playoffs, you know.
So look, when you win 13 or whatever games in a row, you're probably gonna make the playoffs.
You're legit, exactly. So, but you never know, right? Things could still shift quite a bit, and you make a late push, and you know, Backy's on the ice again. Osha's back, coming
back. Yeah,
Back. So, you know,
he looked great the other night, by the way.
Did he? I didn't catch anything.
He was flying around, throwing the body. Like you almost don't want to see him doing it because because coming off an injury, like you don't want to see him kind of re-injure himself, but he looked really damn good.
Well, he only has one way to play the game, right? And that's hard. So he can't really change his identity there, but that's good that he was back. I was keeping up with the kind of just watching the box score as the game went on. And, you know, I had that same thing. Went, oh, here we go again. It's not going to be good. And then complete shock when I saw the final score. So it's good that they figured it out, but yeah, you know what? It's just, I can only imagine what's going on in that room right now too. When you're losing that many games, like this is a notoriously fun dressing room and fun place to play. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly how things are going in there, but yeah, it needs to be turned around quick, right? American Thanksgiving is typically our date. And now with the season pushed back, well, what do we say? Christmas?
And I'm actually going to write this next week because I think Christmas is the new Thanksgiving in terms of like when you freeze the standings, it'd be like, most of these teams are probably going to make the playoffs because teams have only played 20 or so games. I think it's really early to make that judgment.
Yeah, it is for sure. So we'll see. Maybe there's a chance that they can kind of, you know, you go, it's a big road trip, I guess, coming up too, but you know, maybe you go 7-3 in your next 10 games and then you're feeling a lot better. But yeah, at this point, it almost needs to be more of like a 9-1, you know, or even 8-2 just to get themselves back into a really healthy spot.
Yeah. And the problem with that is you've got to stretch now at the Devils, going on the road for a long road trip. And or is it the other way where do you think this team going on the road and having that sort of bonding trip could help them?
It could help them. That's what you're always hoping for when you go on a long road trip is that you can do that. But then you think about the real life, you know, the non-hockey world thing going on, and it's December right before Christmas, and maybe you've got wife and kids at home or girlfriend at home and family that wants to pull you in all different directions. Then you have a lot of stuff going on in the back of your head too. So although you're on the road and it should, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's strictly hockey 100%. There's still life going on for these guys, and sure. and there's a lot of things happening. So, you know, fingers crossed that the road brings some good fortune there, but you know, it could go either way. I mean, I hated going on the road before Christmas because there was just so much that needed to be done. But you know, they're going out west, and you know, for any of the players that are from out there, it's nice to have a chance to play in front of friends and family and stuff like that, since you don't get that opportunity too much. Just hope that everyone is able to stay focused enough, have enough fun. And I think they've been decent out west lately, so hopefully they can continue that.
Yeah. And we're going to have Ryan Leslie on next week's episode, but like the teams are a challenge too. Seattle's better than anyone expected. Calgary is a team that's a challenge. I mean, this is not an easy road trip by any means.
It's never easy. Even when the teams aren't doing good, it's never easy, right? It's a big time zone change. Like I said, it's buildings that you know, but you're also not that familiar with too. So it's tough, but you know, I think them understanding the situation, knowing how important of the road trip is, it either kind of makes or breaks you now, right? It could completely bury the team if they're not there. So it's unfortunate that there's games that mean so much at this point of the season, but you know, we're almost, you know, I guess we're only at a quarter of the way, but they kind of need to snap out of it. And they've played tons of games too. The schedule's been relentless. So, you know, this will be nice, hopefully for them. And then they can kind of smooth things out after.
And last week we saw Nick Backstrom on the ice. Like, I know it was a no contact jersey and all that, but it got us really excited of thinking like he might be back sooner than we think. And not seeing Tom Wilson on the ice got us worried. Like, is he a little further behind than we thought? And then Peter Laviolette and Sergei try to like calm us down of like, they're still out indefinitely, nothing to panic about, everything's fine. But it's still that visceral reaction of, hey, Nick's on the ice. Like, he looked actually pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really that surprised. You know, Nick is he's a professional. You know, like, he's gonna do everything possible to get back and play, but do it the right way. And you know, I think it's one of the things we need to think about too. With, you know, if we look at Jack Eichel, right, the surgery yep. that he had was a surgery so many people said no one would be able to play from, and he's back playing and he's playing well, right? The technology has advanced so much since the last guys that have had this this stuff. You know, I think Kessler had it, Jovanovski had it, and it's a little while ago. So I think things are getting a lot better, and I'm not really surprised that he's back skating. And it's, you know, whether or not it can hold up to the grind of a season. You know, that will be something that we need to see. But sure. You know, we're all hoping for the player and for the human that it does.
Yeah, and that's like. Yeah, quality of life winds up being the most important thing for Nick. Tom's is, and Tarek, our buddy pointed this out, like, for Tom, it's they got to look at a photo of his knee, and if it's totally healed, he can be cleared to practice hard and play. Until that, you don't want him to re-injure it either.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be the worst case scenario for that to happen. And then the other thing too is, like, you've had that injury and you're recovering it from it for so long that there's got to be other parts of the body that have been compensating, right?
Overcompensating, sure.
And then there's little muscles in that leg that haven't been used as much that need to get back up to speed too, right? There's one thing to getting strength, but then to having them fire quickly and be able to be durable and all that stuff. Like, there's just, I mean, there's battling through the pain, sure. There's battling through not being as strong as you'd normally like, but then you need to build up some good scar tissue. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, someone said it to me the other day about running. Like, you don't just, a non-runner doesn't just go out there and start running 10 miles that without feeling like garbage the next day. You need to build up some endurance in your knees, you know, in the joints and stuff like yep. that before you can get back out there. So, you know, it'll be the same thing where he's going to need to, you know, be set. Otherwise you're going to come back and injure something else. And that's not what anybody wants.
Yeah. During our preseason kind of a media survey, which Ben Raby did, we all kind of guessed when Tom Wilson's return would be and kind of when Nick Backstrom's return would be. I think I said the Stars on December 15th for Tom, and that's going to be pretty aggressive. I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
Yeah, we did it too. I think we wrote something down at some point.
We did. I definitely wrote this down, and we're definitely betting on things this year.
We're going to go check back to the notes, and then and hopefully we have the answer next episode. But yeah, it seems like you know, that's, I don't know. It could happen, but it seems like it's pushing it at this point. I feel like it's the 25th right now. For some reason, I feel like it's already the beginning of December, but my timing's all off. So he's still got some time, but it'll be a push.
Yeah, the timing's off and completely. But now our new guess is, when's Ovi going to pass Gordie Howe? And that is looking at like maybe late December.
Yeah, that's something that I want to see happen really bad. You know, every time I open up the score, if I haven't watched the game and I'm just waiting to see, you know, a hat trick or something like that, because we're all waiting for it. Because that, I mean, it's just, what a milestone, right? It just makes you laugh thinking about it.
It's weird because we had this discussion the other day. Is everyone's making a big deal at 800, but really the big deal is 801 and 802 because it's tying Gordy and passing Gordy. But also, like, 800 is a ridiculously big number.
It's insane. We were just celebrating, who was it? Bergeron just got 1,000 points.
Yeah.
You know, and Ovi almost has 800 goals.
And like, Bergeron's a lock Hall of Famer.
Oh, absolutely. He'll be one of the best all-around players to play the game. And when you really break it down and think about it that way, it is absolutely crazy. Like, I don't know. I just celebrating that many goals to me is just makes you laugh.
It's actually weird. And I was having this conversation with Sergio. I was like, how do you tell his story again? And Tarek actually did a good job. It's on The Athletic now about kind of some of the goalies who didn't have long careers and how, like, having Ovi score on them was like one of the highlights of their like life and careers. And that's really interesting to me. It's like, how more can you tell Ovi's story of he's really good at this?
Yeah, he's really good at scoring goals. He's been so much fun for the city and the league, really, to just have around and see what he does. He's a specimen. Like, we were at the Rock the Retro night the other day.
Oh, how was that?
It was fun. Ford Bronco was there. Shout out to them. It was very, very fun. But just to make you laugh too, we did a fist comparison. It was me, Ovi, Oli Kolzig, and Brent Johnson. And we all kind of put our fists like at a four-leaf clover almost. And everyone knows, like, Oli is a big guy, right?
Yep.
Ovi's hand made Oli's hand look like he was a 10-year-old. Like, it was insane. Mine looked like an infant hand. You know, it was crazy. Like, the guy is just a specimen. And to be able to go out there and play, you know, a hard physical game, but also a finesse game and score that many goals, it's just so freaking cool to see.
How many goals of Ovi's do you think you had the primary assist on? Yes. Like, how, and what does it feel like when you're passing the puck to him knowing he's going to score?
Okay, first question, I'd say maybe 10, maybe. Okay. And then, yeah, so he told me the one time, there's two different scenarios. One, when he would be in front of the net and I would maybe dump a puck in the corner, as now I know Alan May absolutely despised, but screw that. But Ovi would say, he's like, if you see me in front of the net with somebody, just put it there and I'll win every time. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, when try to realize when he's in front of the net battling and throw a puck there, and you know, he wasn't wrong. A lot of times he did win. Didn't always go in, but there was a pretty damn good chance, a grade A chance. Or other times where I'd see him skating up the ice with a defenseman kind of beside him, and knowing that it was the exact same thing. You know, put the puck here and I'll beat this guy and I'll go around him. And so I loved it because I could go off the glass and out or up the wall, you know, hard up the wall. And he would oftentimes, you know, get the puck and find a way to go around someone. You know, to go back to the classic clip of him bumping one around Hammerlick and taking it to the net. You know, it's like you put him in that situation, he was pretty much guaranteeing that he was gonna win the battle. And so, yeah, it was pretty neat to have someone that special. It's the same thing. Like, if I played with McDavid, if I ever saw him picking up speed, I don't care who else is open. I'm gonna bump this puck to him because we know, you know, more often than not, he's gonna make something of it.
I know everybody talks about the Arizona goal and it was nuts. My favorite Ovi goal of all time was the Hammerlick goal.
Yeah, the Hammerlick goal was pretty cool. Like, that's something you do like for fun, joking around, right? And he did it to a good defenseman and in game.
Were you in that game?
I think I was in that game. Yeah, I might have. I'm trying to remember if I was on the ice for it. I don't think
we can find that.
Yeah, we can find those things. But yeah, like, I remember it.
Dude scored 790 and is going to get to 800 goals. There's been a lot of those that were like, I think I sort of remember that.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to remember your goals, right? And I'd be curious to talk to Ovi about it too, and just have him break down some of the goals that he's had, because a lot of those, which is a weird, weird thing. I think Stamkos is the same way, but they can remember dates of goals and what the game final scores were and things like that of, you know, Stammers at whatever he is, 500 or 600 goals. Like, to remember all those things and little details, it's pretty ridiculous.
And you know who's actually really great at that? Sidney Crosby.
No surprise there. Student of the game right there.
Sid remembers every single game he's ever played in, every goal he's assisted on or scored. Like, I know Cavs fans are not big fans of Sidney Crosby, but like we are fans of kind of like being fans of the game of Sidney Crosby. He's exactly like that.
Yeah, when I think what do I got like 15, 16 goals, career goals, and I can only remember like three of them. So I guess that goes to show you what else I was thinking about on there.
And your first one may not even have been yours if we got a piece of it.
It's definitely not mine. Yeah. So
in theory, 791 for him and whatever, 14 for you.
Exactly.
But the record books don't say that. When we come back on All's Caps, we're going to be joined by former Capitals employee, actually, and NHL, now NHL.com's Jackie Spiegel.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to All's Caps with former Capitals defenseman Carl Alzner. I'm AP Hockey writer Steve Wino. We are now joined by former Capitals employee, 2001, right? Jackie Spiegel, now of NHL.com. As I said, we met during the Cup Final in 2019, which changed my life in a lot of ways, good and bad, and all of that. Jackie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
We were talking off the air. You have your Prince William Wildcats jersey with you. You lived in D.C. You played hockey in D.C. What do you remember of your life in D.C. and the Capitals?
Oh, I mean, I was only there for a year. It was 2001-02 season. So it was an interesting time.
Not a great time for the Capitals.
No, it was. and it was obviously an interesting time in D.C. It was right after 9/11 and the Pentagon got hit. And, you know, obviously there was a lot of closures and it was a little bit different. I came from New York, so obviously we have, you know, we had our own 9/11 attacks here. So going to DC, it was definitely an interesting time frame to be living in DC, but I definitely enjoyed my time. I was only there for a year. And you know, it's like New York in a lot of ways, and it's not like New York in a lot of ways. So, you know, I'm a lifelong New Yorker. Obviously you can hear from the accent. I was born here and raised. So it was nice. A lot cleaner than New York, I will say.
The metro is, yes.
But oh yeah. Well, also, I love the metro. Always love the metro.
It's not the same metro. No,
cushions either. On the seats was always a nice thing. Definitely don't have that in New York City subways here. But you know, yeah, it was nice. I liked it. I lived in a nice apartment. I could see the Potomac from my view. You know, it wasn't too bad.
I will say it's a good point that it is a very clean city. Like when you think about all the other big cities, they must, I don't know who's out there picking up stuff and keeping tabs on that. But it is one of the comments you always get from people that come and visit is how clean it is. So I mean, New York does kind of stress me out sometimes when I see all the garbage on the side of the road. I'm just like, oh, I don't know what's going on right now.
I mean, I'm very used to it, but I will say, yeah, I was just in Europe in September and I came back after 2 weeks and it was definitely a little bit of a culture shock to come back and be like, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of, it's a little different, but you know, our offices back then, I don't think they're the same place now, I think, because they moved to the
practice rink. Yeah.
Yeah. So like our offices were right across from the FBI building. So I don't know if that's also why it was very clean, clean and shiny area, because it was obviously a big touristy area at that time. So and I think like the link isn't like where Lincoln got shot, like right there or something too, like Ford's Theater is right near there. So a little bit of a busy spot. So, but yeah, you know, like I said, I enjoyed my time down there. You know, I as a kid, I went down to DC once or twice as like a school trip.
Yeah.
So a little different when you're living there and every day you come up through the Navy Archive, right? That's what's called the Navy Archive subway stop. And you know, get my coffee at the Starbucks right there. And then I would walk to the, wow, I can't believe I remember this.
Exactly. It must have been fond memories.
You're jogging memories here. I'm curious from your time there before the Rock the Red era, when they were terrible, Has it been enjoyable to watch the team get good, get Ovi, get Carl, be a good team, win the Stanley Cup? Like, has it been enjoyable from afar, having worked for the team, kind of seeing that?
Well, I was definitely happy for a lot of people that work there, you know, on the office side of things, that were able to enjoy and finally reap the you know, rewards. Sure. and to kind of get to where they, you know, they wanted to get to. I mean, like, the team wasn't that super bad when I was there. I mean, we had Peter Bondra, we had Ole Kolzig, we had
Adam Oates too.
Sorry?
Adam Oates too.
Adam Oates was there. Yeah, that's when he set a record for a
This is before he set the record for most stick curves changed as a coach.
I actually probably have like my old, I should have pulled it out. I have all the, I did a couple of, I worked in PR, so I did the magazines. So I wrote a couple of things for that. I definitely have those somewhere. Might be in this.
You worked for Nate Ewell, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Carl, did you overlap with Nate, Carl?
Yes, I did. Yeah. What a beauty. Yeah.
Nate is very much a friend of the show. Have we had Nate on?
We haven't had Nate on.
You should have Nate on. He wants stories. He probably has stories.
Nate will have stories.
He has a lot of stories.
PR stories crew he can't tell. Covers up a lot for the players. That's for damn sure.
I don't know what you're talking about, girl.
Well, that's like we asked Sergey the other day, like, do you have to be at Thanksgiving practice even if no one's there? He's like, yes, I did. Like, I'm not just there for you guys.
Yeah, so my responsibilities, like a large chunk of my responsibilities when I was there was actually the visiting team. So,
okay.
Because back then the Capitals practice facility was all the way out in
Piney Orchard, right?
Silver Springs or Piney Orchard. Yeah. So like it was super far out. I only went there like once or twice to that rink. So I didn't even see that rink. I was largely responsible for the visiting team. So I always got to meet like visiting teams as they came through, which is kind of cool. You know, met Doug Gilmore once, which, as you see, I wear 93. So obviously, and he doesn't know this, but that was like a.
You should have told him that.
Big fan too. Big fan of Doug Gilmore.
Well, you grew
like
up
I was just
fan.
Walking. He just came up to me and was like, "Oh, hey!" And I'm like, "Oh, hi, Doug Gilmore." Like, it was kind of cool. But you know, it was kind of fun, and you know, like I had to take all the back then. You know, we didn't believe in recycling, obviously, and back then, you know, you had to print out all the game notes
and stat packs. Yeah.
Stat packs and the clips. You would literally sit there and clip out the articles from the paper.
Yeah.
And make copies. And like, you know, I was responsible to give it to all the hockey operations. So obviously we sat by George McPhee. We sat by Frank Provenzano and Chris Wagner, like those, and Sean Simpson. Those were the guys that we sat by, and you had to literally print out everything, and you had to take boxes to the arena, which I had to cart through like the streets of DC to get to the arena with all the boxes of the game notes. Obviously that times are different now. It was all electronic back then too, but I don't think it was as like it is now.
I think the stat packs, one of the cool things that people would love to see, like the fans would love to see what stat packs look like, because they're always, you always have on every team a few guys that are just all over those stat packs. And it's like right before the game, someone will call out like, "Oh, this is so-and-so's chance to get to 100 points or whatever." It's like, how the heck did you know that? But sure enough, like they're the guy that's sitting in the bathroom stall going over the stat packs and figuring out what all the stuff is. And it from what my understanding, it is can be a pretty damn annoying job. So appreciate the work that goes into it. That's for sure.
I think I only had to do, well, I had to obviously collate it all, but and I was also the only one who could figure out the copy machine half the time because it's so you have to write like the notes, like you literally would write like you've seen them, why not, you have to write the paragraphs of things. So I only did that once or twice kind of thing, but yeah, I couldn't imagine like doing it for an 82 game schedule.
Did you sit near George McPhee for any games?
No, because my responsibility in the press box was to make sure the press box like was functioning.
Carl, at some point I need to tell the story of sitting under George during a Flyers Caps game in Philly. Must have been a decade ago at this point, but like he is an adventure. You could watch him watching a game and it would be fun.
They should ISO cam all the GMs that
yes,
in the boxes and just do like a compilation at the end of the year, because I bet it would be unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, because you have Steve Yzerman, who has no reaction whatsoever, and then you have guys losing their friggin' minds.
Well, we definitely see it on camera. I mean, I'm not revealing.
I would train a camera.
We've seen on camera, literally, who was it? Dorian throw.
You're Dorian.
Yep. Throw the water bottle. We've seen Cam Neely throw a water bottle. Like, these are things that are we've seen on camera. So it's not like we're any secrets there with that, for sure.
We saw Jordan Binnington throw a water bottle. The funny part about that, girl, Tarek was actually there with Kadri when that happened.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
So Tarek was there for the Kadri moment and the Kirk Cousins, you like that moment, because that's what Kirk Cousins was yelling at. Do you like that? It was Tarek.
No way.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
It's incredible. Rather than make you tell old stories or anything, I'm curious, before we get to stupid questions, Jackie, just like, you've watched a lot of Capitals games this year. You've edited Capitals stories from our friend Harvey Valentine for NHL.com. I'm just curious your thoughts of this team right now and kind of what they're going through.
I mean, look, the Capitals have a longstanding tradition of being a good team. I mean, even when I was there, it was not long after 98 when they went to the Stanley Cup final, right? So
Dale Hunter was still there when you were there?
I'm sorry?
Was Dale Hunter still there when you were there?
No, Ron Wilson was the head coach.
Yeah,
Trent Hunter I'm sorry, not Trent. Oh my God, I can't remember now. I can see faces. Swear to God.
Yeah, I'm that way too.
You weren't there when Ron Wilson tried to play three defensemen on the ice at the same time, were you?
I don't think so.
That actually happened. Like, Carl, we need to get Vogues on to tell stories too. That might have to be like a 3-hour episode.
Yeah, it could be a part one, part two.
That was Ron Wilson, Tim Army, Tim Hunter. Your year.
Yeah, Tim Hunter. Sorry, not Trent Hunter. I don't know.
Tim Hunter, who came back and was an assistant later.
Yeah. No, good guy. I mean, I didn't really deal with the coaches too much because, like I said, I was more with
the visitors.
Teams. But, you know, every now and then we see them, kind of thing. And, you know, great guys. I had no issues with them.
Jeff Halpern. You had a young Jeff Halpern on that team.
A young Jeff Halpern, yeah. So I will tell a quick story that I did meet Herb Brooks. He came to ring. It was really... Look, I'm an American kid. I grew up. I was 6 months old though in 1980. So I had to like date myself. But obviously if I'm saying I worked for the Caps like 20 years ago, you know, I'm not a spring chicken, but I was only 6 months old. So I don't really know, like Miracle on Ice. All I know is from watching it on television and seeing all the highlights now kind of thing. But even just to meet, you know, him and, you know, I was kind of the one who kind of kept everything kind of running a little bit. So, you know, like, you know, he didn't want to sit in the press box. He wanted to sit in the stands kind of thing. So I was like trying to give him like, okay, this might, cause I was more worried about the fans bothering him.
Yeah.
He was more worried, I think, about the media bothering him.
Fair.
Cause he was there scouting obviously for the 2002 Salt Lake City.
Olympics. Oh yeah.
So, you know, he was there to watch Steve Konowalczyk. He was obviously there to watch Jeff Halpern, but then I think Jeff Halpern broke his leg that year. So I believe it was actually like right before, if I remember correctly. I know he broke his leg that year. I'm pretty sure that's why he didn't go to the Olympics in 2002.
Yeah, only played 48 games.
But yeah, it was kind of fun. You know, Herb's like, oh, where are you from? And I was like, oh, I'm from New York. He's like, oh yeah, I spent some time there. I mean, like when he was the coach of the Rangers, I was maybe 6 or 7. So, you know, I knew my players. I didn't really know the coaches.
Not at that age.
Yeah, not at that age. You know, I had my, you know, John O'Gronick, Kelly Kissios. Like, those are...
Kelly Kissios. Oh, Kelly. Oh, what a name.
There was only one person probably in New York that was upset that Mark Messier came, and that was probably me, because Kelly Kissios was the captain.
He's your guy.
And then they brought in Mark Messier, and I'm like, you're taking away the captaincy from Kelly Kissios? What is this?
You know? Yeah, that's so funny.
But yeah, so like, you know, Thomas Sandstrom, just to throw out another old name. Like,
yeah.
Those were like the players that I... really liked back in the day, but and Mike Gartner, obviously, who's former Capital.
Yeah, and a Leafs guy, right, Carl?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Well, he got traded to the Leafs for Glenn Anderson, I think.
Sounds right.
Does that sound right?
Well, again, if you can't remember 20 years ago, how are we going to remember 30 years ago?
I was very upset when he got traded. Very upset, and then
as we are.
But I actually, the year I was in DC was the year he got inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. So I actually went to the Hall of Fame and interviewed him for the magazine for the Capitals magazine kind of thing, which was kind of cool. Yeah.
But that's pretty sweet. Those are some, I mean, I laughed when you said Kelly Kissio. He was actually my coach in junior. So I was
really,
yeah. So I was,
speaking of people we need to have on the show.
Yeah, that'd be unbelievable if you would come on the show. His reactions, let's just say, George-like.
they were entertaining and a lot of funny things being said. And when you're a 16-year-old kid and you hear your coach saying some of those things, it's pretty eye opening. So it was quite an experience having him. And then his son Bubba was he took over as assistant coach while I was there too. And he I think maybe was a little bit more reserved than his dad, but it was kind of a welcome change.
I don't know if you're as upset, Jackie, at that trade as Capitals fans when Carl left. But okay, when we come back on Oz Caps, Jackie will be the latest victim of Carl's stupid questions. Welcome back to Oz Caps with former Capitals defenseman Carl Alsner and NHL.com Jackie Spiegel. I'm AP Hockey Writer Steve Wino, and now our favorite portion of the show, Carl's stupid questions.
All right,
Jackie's nervous. Like Jackie, let Jackie is Jackie sounds and as we're doing this, looks nervous. This is it's not that hard.
It's really not bad at all.
All right.
Okay, so now that we are done with Thanksgiving, we're kind of rounding into the Christmas season here, and I'm not sure if you enjoy the holidays as much as I do, but there is a little bit of a Christmas flair to this. My first question to you is, when is an appropriate time to turn over from, you know, kind of Thanksgiving decorations and get into Christmas spirit and Christmas music and all that stuff?
And it's Black Friday as we're recording this.
It is. But so I got to go. No, I'm not going to go shopping. But yeah, I'm sure people have been up since the crack of dawn shopping.
I want nothing to do with that, by the way.
When is it appropriate to turn over?
Yeah, to go from. Yeah, after Thanksgiving.
Is this in your personal house or is this like the city? Because I can tell you the city's already been turned over.
Yeah, the city. I think the cities kind of go a little bit too quick. Like you walk into Target and Pottery Barn, whatever the heck you're in, and it's Christmas before it's even been Halloween. So,
yes.
I don't agree with that, but your thoughts?
I guess, I don't know, middle of December, maybe? I don't know. I'm not a big holiday person either. I mean, I love Thanksgiving. That's my favorite holiday, obviously.
Okay. Thanksgiving is your favorite holiday.
It is my favorite holiday. I mean, it's food.
And you celebrated it with friends and with Canadians.
And family.
And family. Yeah, friends, family, and Canadians. Like, what else? What more can you ask for, honestly? U.S. Thanksgiving.
Well, this is perfect because if we're going to go on to the next one, it is about Thanksgiving. For the last few weeks, I've asked everybody their favorite Thanksgiving food. So I've been saying side, but I kind of want to expand it to food because I like to be able to throw dessert in there. Maybe it's turkey for people or ham if you like to go that route. I don't know. But what's your favorite Thanksgiving food?
There's only one requirement.
Okay.
For Thanksgiving. And that is Ocean Spray. Cranberry jelly sauce.
Wow.
That is the only, and I will say, I am not ashamed to say that my mother knows this. And we go to a restaurant yesterday and we're sitting there. And next thing I know, there is a Tupperware of it in front of me at this restaurant.
Come on, seriously?
Swear to God. I'm not, you know, because she knows that this is like the one thing, like we're at a restaurant. We're not eating the, you know, my mom's not making turkey. She's not making the stuffing. She's not making. Yeah, those are, you know, there's only one requirement. Cranberry sauce.
Is that one the one that's like, it is saucy? It's not like a.
No berries allowed. No pieces.
No pieces. Okay. No,
it's literally the one that comes out like in a.
Shaped like shape a jar?
Of the can. Shape of the can. Yeah.
I can say, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
I can say that is part of our Thanksgiving and has been for the last 30 some years.
So do you slice pieces off of it?
Yes.
Yeah, you like slice it up.
You slice it.
And you can almost like follow like the lines of it.
Oh, yeah.
There's have you watched Bob's Burgers?
A little bit, yeah.
There's an episode, a Thanksgiving episode of that show where Bob, the main character, is like, no, cranberries like come like there's actual cranberries. And everyone's like, it comes in a can. He's like, no, it doesn't. Yes, it does.
I do like to put cranberries in, like if I make muffins,
yeah,
things like that. But no, there's only one requirement for Thanksgiving.
Okay, fair enough. I've actually seen that, but I've never had it before. So,
oh well, now we know what to try next year.
Yes, exactly. I'm gonna.
I mean, you can eat it year round, but let's be realistic. It's only
tastes better this time of year, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. So, being a New Yorker, what's your favorite New York site or building, or you know, what's something everybody should go and do when they're in New York?
Well, that's a tough question, actually.
Yes.
try to make them tough.
This is really tough because I mean there's so much to do here, I guess. And also I'm not a big like don't go to touristy places. Like, yeah, you want to, you know, like I go to places, I go to Europe and I go to other cities. Like, I don't want to go to the tourist places. I want to go to like
get the feel of the city, right?
Yeah, you want to go in like a local, like you own the place, you know, like yeah. You want to know. I mean, I have like my favorite places. I live downtown Manhattan, so I have my favorite places down here. I mean, I don't know, this is a kid's show, but I would say there's a really good bar down here that I like.
Perfect. You can definitely tell us that.
Which one?
I like
Jeremy's. The Seaport area is cool in and of itself. And I've gone with you and our colleague Kevin Kurz and friend Stephanie Gordon and others to Francis Tavern, which is where George Washington drank at and gave his farewell speech at. That might be there's better bars, but that for a historical, you can have a pint at Francis Tavern. That's a fantastic spot.
I was going to say, if you're going for historical reasons, like that's the place.
That's cool.
I like walking. If I feel adventurous and want to go for a run, like I like to go around Battery Park, which I think is really pretty. Yes. And you see the Statue of Liberty, which is awesome. And obviously you can see Brooklyn, depending on like how far up north you come kind of thing, which obviously is very special to me. But I mean, those are the kind of things that like people like to walk the Brooklyn Bridge, and you can do that. And you could take the ferry for free to go across also to Staten Island to see.
Is Staten Island ferry free?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I
love walking through Central Park too, which I've done fairly a lot recently. Like
I've done it a few times. There used to be a rink I used to coach at the top of Central Park, which is really cool.
I've skated on a rink there. Not that rink, but I've skated on a rink at Central
Park. You skated probably at Woolman, which is a little.
I skated at Woolman hours before the four of us went to dinner on New Year's Eve last year. Yes.
Right. Yes. Yeah. But there used to be a rink at the North End, which is two smaller rinks. I used to coach kids hockey there, and the couple teams have gone to practice there. Like the Flames were there in 2017, maybe, I want to say. The Rangers have gone there, obviously. I think a couple other teams have gone through, maybe even the Caps. I can't remember, but that would have been before my time being involved at the rink.
That's so cool. That'd be unbelievable.
You get like a beautiful view. Like you're basically like in Central Park at that point.
Yeah, I will. One of my favorite things is we used to almost always play in New York right before Christmas break, and I'd almost never nap pregame nap, and so I would, as soon as we were done breakfast, I'd hop in a cab and I'd go straight to Rockefeller Center, and I'd walk around the rink there with all the tourists because I needed to see it, and if I ever had time to grab some rentals if the line wasn't too big, get on the ice and just wheel around. I just loved. Love
you skate in the rental skates?
If there was ever space, I would always try and get in there. I've skated with some terrible skates.
I was going to say, I'm sure the teams would have loved to have known that at the time.
Skates make a big difference, having a good pair of skates. That's for sure.
Also, like that's just like a heavy touristy area. I don't know.
Oh, of course. But I mean, it puts me in the spirit. That's kind of why I liked it. I go to a Christmas market and I'd go and do that.
Have you done the tree yet, Carl? Like, have you seen, like, gone in December and do the Rockefeller tree and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, skated at the rink there. It's literally right there.
I've never done it. I'm doing it in 3 weeks for the first time of, like, going to actually see the tree, skate on that rink. I can't wait.
Yeah, I think it's for someone who's not a local, I think it's something that needs to be done.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that's the vibe I'm getting. okay, next one here is... what's worse for you? I'm trying to get my temperature conversions here. You have a week straight of 0 degrees. So really, really cold. Let's throw some wind.
You're doing well here, Carl.
Yeah. Let's throw some wind in there or a week of like quite heavy rain or 1 week of 100-degree weather with no air conditioning, which is worse. Yeah.
Wow, that's a tough one. Because like
none of them are good. Yeah,
because part of me is like I like the cold more sometimes now, but my skin hates the cold. I actually think I'm starting to get allergic to cold. But
not just a great T-shirt slogan; it's real.
Oh yeah. What was the middle one? There was.
Rain.
Too cold. Oh, I think I would be fine with the rain. So I guess I'd probably say the Heat, even though I'm a summer, like, summer baby. Like, I think the Heat would probably, I just, I'm not a shorts and t-shirt. Like, I'm not a shorts person, so.
Yeah, I personally like the rain, so Heat would be my answer too. So bonus points there. Okay, if this is what you wouldn't be able to live without, would you not be able to live without TV and movies, without having a cell phone / social media, or never being able to drive? And since you're in New York, I feel like driving things not such a big deal, but.
I miss driving though. I miss driving. I don't, you know, I haven't had a car since I moved back. Which is like 16 years ago at this point. So from Connecticut. I lived in Connecticut for 3 years. But which is the worst, right? Or which I cannot live without.
Yeah.
I don't really watch a ton of TV that much anymore. Really, the only thing I watch on TV now is games, because
Carl, I thought the third part, I thought the third option was going to be, can you live without sports? Because
I should have been,
because that's,
I couldn't live without one. Yeah, I don't think I could live without sports.
Yeah,
so but also I do it for a living, so
Right. Like, that's kind of, I mean, I feel like the TV and movies could include sports, but for this case we won't do that.
So cell phone is the answer here.
I think cell phone, but I could honestly live without social media. I kind of miss the days where we, like when I worked in DC, I wasn't there. You really couldn't get in touch with me.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I had a cell phone. Obviously, cell phones were.
They were starting to become a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, they were in their infancies, but smartphones were not anywhere near what they are.
Yeah. Well, I was just talking to someone yesterday about they don't have any social media. And I was asking, well, have you kept in touch with so-and-so? And they're like, no, I haven't talked to them in years. And as he's like, probably because I don't have any social media. And I'm like, yeah, see, that's the one good thing about it. Like, I feel like I'm still part of some of my buddies' lives from junior and stuff, because I see them on there. I know it can be toxic at times too. It just depends on how you, I guess, how you use it. But
yeah,
you know, I say that often, that I wish I just didn't have any social media, but then I'm like, but then I would lose a lot of my, you know, maybe some of them are fringe friends, but they're still friends, you know, still people I enjoy talking to every now and then. So it's a tough one, but no cell phone. Yeah. Down with that. Okay, well, that's six, believe it or not. That's fast. Okay, I just got to quickly add these up, because this is an interesting one for me. you hit on a couple for sure. So, okay, driving, social media, carry the four.
Oh, I don't do math.
Yeah, no, I got
to
do math.
Carl has to, this is a whole like scientific procedure.
I'll get you one of those like big like calculators like my dad used to have, because he was a CPA.
And my dad has one of those behind me right now.
Yeah, and it would have like the ribbon, so you can like see. It's like almost like a receipt.
Yeah, seriously.
That was the only reason I like playing on it, was because it was spit out like the receipt with all the information on it.
Carl's got his like shorthand math to do for this.
Yes. So I totaled you up, and it is a 192 points, which is the same as Tariq El-Bashir. Exact same score as Tariq. So it puts you in the pack. You're in the middle of the pack. Unfortunately, not at the top, but you're right. You're right with the crew.
How far off the top?
Well, we have a couple outliers.
TJ and Lenny Oshie were up there.
We have three people that made it into the 400s. One that's in the 300s, and everybody else is in the mid 100s to early 200s. So
400s, did you give them the answers in advance?
It was the weirdest.
Scott Abraham, a local ABC guy in DC, answered almost every question like Carl would have answered it. Like, it was unreal.
It was like I was playing the game myself. So I had to give him a big score. 500 is perfect. So
we'll have to do it again. And then I'll just answer it like Carl would answer, and not answer it like I would answer.
Yeah. Well, the whole point, it's not to win. Point. It's just to get to know you a little bit more. But if you win, you win.
Carl, we've been talking about doing a bottle kill episode. That's when you can ask me the questions, because then there's going to be no filter. And we should probably do that like in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, we should probably do that too.
That's our Christmas themed episode.
Yes, we should do a Christmas themed episode.
A little eggnog?
Yes.
Well, whatever we're going to be drinking, we're going to have a bottle of whiskey and something else. I don't know what we're going to have. Whatever we're allowed to have. But Jackie, thank you very much for joining us on AllsCaps.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And everybody, thanks for listening. And next week, we will talk to you with Sportsnet's Ryan Leslie, talk a little Calgary Flames and some Washington Capitals. We'll talk to you then.